Turn up the radio and sing along. It's time for another great song. This is the Great Song Podcast.
Season's greetings and welcome once again to the Great Song Podcast. I'm Rob Alley.
And I am JP Mosier.
And we're here to celebrate the greatest songs in what? And we're here to celebrate the greatest songs in modern music history. We're going to tell you what makes them great, why we think they're awesome, and why you should too. JP, how you doing today, man?
I am doing fantastic. So it's a few months later for you guys than when you hung out with us and Uncle Dave. But for us, it's been 12 minutes.
Yes.
So we are jumping right into That's right. He's pouring and drinking the Kool-Aid. another river. Guys, we are here with David McKee Barnes once again. Dave, say hey to the folks.
Hey to the folks.
There it is.
Dave is joining us for what is now got to be the, I don't know, 18th time on the show.
That's a lot. We're fortunate. What's the season? We're spoiled with him. We love him.
Seriously, such a treat to have you anytime we get to have you. So, you know, it's been our, like, podcast bro relationship has been such a fun thing for us.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we've got to get to do this with you a few times. And I feel like we are part of, hopefully, part of the encouragement of your podcasting journey. Like,
oh, you know, man, absolutely.
And so now you're part of the That Sounds Fun Network and, you know, all that stuff. And it's going great. And it makes us super happy to see it because we feel like we were kind of in on that ground floor.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Remember picking y'all's brain about a lot of that stuff.
And we, you know, the listeners get to hear a small portion. And this is going to sound like a major flex, and I don't mean it. But some of my favorite things are when we have this text thread. It's just the random one-off things that we throw takes at each other.
You have no idea. I'm not kidding. There's a Pavlovian response in my brain to where it, like, pings and it's y'all's names. I'm like, ooh, here we go. There's going to be just some wonderful sizzling take.
Oh, man.
Like, have you guys ever noticed how loud the acoustics are on Patience by Guns N' Roses? And I'm like, tell me more.
I've got to go first. Well, I got to go first then, okay. Because
when we bring Dave on, we always do hot takes.
That's right.
Because he hosts, both co-hosts Dadville with John McLaughlin and Dave's Five Hot Takes. And so we always, in his honor, do hot takes when he comes on the show.
Yes.
So go ahead.
I've got a take that it's not Guns N' Roses, but it's kind of it's Brett Michaels and Steven Tyler related.
Okay.
So Steven Tyler, even though he can't play guitar, knows what good guitar is.
Okay.
Brett Michaels, although he claims to play guitar and even strum some chords on slower ballads, does not know what truly good guitar is. And Rob may have a point, I may have an idea where I'm going with this. I'm going to use two songs and one word to make my point. What It Takes, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry. Man. Pull it up, go to minute 228-ish around there.
Yes, so, please.
Great chords. I mean, there's so many chords in this song.
All right, what's my timestamp?
Go to 228-ish around there. Go back a bit. Okay. So, here we go.
Jeez.
Here we go. So, guitar.
Oh my gosh.
Solo.
I love so much what's happening. Right,
and he says guitar, and then the guitar solo.
And then the
solo
guitar
happens.
Shreds a wonderful solo.
Right, now I know where you're
headed. You know where I'm going. Nothing But a Good Time. Written by Brett Michaels and CC DeVille.
That's right.
So this is basically 1 7 4 1. Still rock. Okay. I didn't timestamp the
That's
solo.
Fine. We got the solo. Yeah. Here we go. Here we go. Love this solo.
So we're gonna listen. So he just shredded. Now, guitar.
And then he says guitar.
And then the guy just plays chords. Exactly.
Like, bro, are you paying attention?
Exactly. So Steven Tyler knows how to set up guitar.
Yeah.
Tyler likes to he likes to set up the solos. And tell you as a prophet would, this is about what's happening, pre-appreciate, where Brett was supposed to appreciate.
Like soup.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I would, except for the fact that if you'll notice to how he points, he's like, after CeCe has shredded, he's like, guitar! Like, take it now.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 chord.
And what if that was supposed to be a solo and that guy got scared?
Right, yeah. He's like, no, you do one.
He's like, no.
No, it's like CeCe, but anyway.
Did you not hear that guitar solo?
I just gave you everything I have.
Yeah, that's
man. That's it.
That's one of the probably few guitar solos that are of that intensity that I could just sit down and play at any time. I played it so many times. I have muscle memory for days on that guitar solo. I love that solo.
Let's talk about the chords on What It Takes sometime. Not now. Yeah. But, dude, those chords are freaking amazing.
There's a great flat 5 chord in that song. Awesome. It just like kind of walks down. It's weird.
It's nuts.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Here's mine, and we'll let Dave go last. I'm so excited for this. Y'all might think it's stupid, but I think it's hilarious. Let me go ahead and hit the track. Hold on. So I don't know if you've been watching the news, but archaeologists have made a huge discovery recently. They dug for decades, but they finally found something buried incredibly deep that they've been searching for a long, long time.
I like the setup. So
they've developed new instruments and technology for drilling and excavating the depths of the earth until they finally plunged the abyss deep enough to find this deeply buried mystery. It was Michael Jackson's vocals on the song Jam. This is the video with him and Michael Jordan like playing basketball.
Jam.
Here it is. What? What? Could you just like, if you're listening in headphones, it's not as egregious. But if you're listening on like a stereo, it's like, what is he saying? Is he actually saying something?
Well, you know what I love is the phase on this voice. When do you hear?
Yeah, so affected. There's nothing.
Go
there's nothing.
It's
there.
Just way low in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah, great song. I feel disappointed now that we listened to it in headphones because I didn't like what I was. But anyway,
on the radio, those of you guys that are listening, I'm about to say on the radio, but like in the car, it's
in the
more
car,
noticeable.
Like on the video, you're watching the video on TV or
you're
YouTube.
Like, when
or
is he gonna start singing? It's, you're like, yeah, well, his mouth's moving. That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's so every little word is so sparse. Like
the producer's like leaning on the desk, like, is he?
Yeah, turn up the fader more.
Yeah. Okay, so this one is I love this one. This is like a little bit of a left hand turn, so it's not exciting.
Okay,
but I love this.
I love a good depressing.
Well, it is a little depressing. When We Dance, by Sting.
Okay, that's a great song.
The piano does the melody on the first verse, and then the organ does the new melody on the second verse, while the piano still does the old melody. So he sings a different melody on the second verse, but the piano still plays the old melody. It's really cool.
Oh, man.
I'd never noticed this before.
So you're talking the second melody. You're talking the priest was saying my
loves you. Right? So the piano's doing that on the first verse with him.
Yeah.
I think. Second verse is definitely doing it, but now he's doing the...
And the organ's playing that. Oh, man. Okay, so here it is. You're hearing the first verse. Piano's playing.
Right, which is
sharp 11.
I mean, amazing.
Shoot me now. Okay, so let's skip ahead
to the second verse. Yeah, this is so cool. Listen to the piano and his vocal.
Well, right, there's that melody.
Yeah. Da, da, da. Also, is it a kunga or a side stick?
Oh.
It is always. So they're setting you up to hear.
Oh, I think I might have gone too far.
Yeah, you went too far, but I love your energy. All right, here we go. So, new melody. Piano part.
Oh. That's...
Isn't that cool?
So good. So smart, this guy. Man.
Oh, my gosh.
That
I love that
song
so much.
That young man is going places.
That, yeah, I got a good
Oh, my gosh.
About
I tell you all that I got to sit in a room with him and listen to with like 100 other people. He came to Nashville
no.
a month
no.
ago.
Shut up.
Bro, true story. He and Shaggy. Mr. Bombastic.
Oh my gosh.
They came
Rob
to
does a great Shaggy impression.
They came to what's the Belmont owned Omi's Grow the studio? Ocean Way.
Okay.
Oh. Now wait a minute. Him and Shaggy and,
yeah,
together.
Yeah,
they do
yeah.
that duet.
And they did it. Chrissy Mintz from This Is Us interviewed him. She was so cute and engaging and wonderful. But literally, I sat from me to you.
To Sting.
Yeah, to
oh my
Sting.
Gosh.
And he just, and right. then, I mean, it was.
So what's he talking about for this hour? He's talking about like.
Like just how. Amazing he still is and looks like he's gonna live through eternity.
Yeah.
Like post Armageddon, it's Twinkies and Sting.
Yeah.
Just hanging out
Twinkies,
in a vast
roaches and Sting.
Yeah, Sting. That's right. It was so cool. I mean it was cool. She asked questions to both of them, but they're really good friends. They've been making these reggae records. But which I didn't realize how successful Shaggy has been, honestly. He's sold like 50 million records on his own. Oh, so,
Mr. Bombastic?
Yeah.
Like, fantastic.
Yeah. But he was really great and engaging too. He was awesome. But it was cool her, because she would ask them individual questions too. Yeah. And then it opened up to Q&A, and a lot of people actually asked Shaggy stuff too, but asked Sting a lot then. And he was just so.
Did you ask him a question?
No, but Ransom did.
Did he?
Yeah, okay. Dustin got to ask him, and that's it was awesome. Like me and Dustin were both just like floating later because he was because I was like right behind Dustin, looked like he was looking at me, and I was just like winking and trying to steal his eye contact. But one of the things that was really cool, I mean, like he talked about like somebody was like, "How many songs do you write for record or something?" He's like, "As many as it takes to write the record, and then I'm done." And I was like, "Wow." I wanted to ask what his process has been like and how it's changed, but he kind of addressed that, and I was like, "I just don't." And Dustin really wanted to ask him, so I was like, "I'm not going to be the guy." It's like. But it was cool. I mean, it was really cool.
That's amazing.
It was really cool.
I remember one time I saw an interview with Shaggy and somebody asked him about like his collaboration with Sting, and he was like, "Well, you know, we're gonna
come down to the house, Mr. Bombastic. He's a very nice guy."
All right. Hey, welcome everybody to the Great Song Podcast.
Oh yeah, we're not talking about any of those songs.
None of that.
We're gonna be talking about Rob. Tell him what we're talking about and. Talking.
I'll tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about Really Love to See You Tonight by England Dan and John Ford Coley, aka the gentlest booty call of all time.
Oh my gosh. It's been a while, not much. Wait, do you know where this was recorded?
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
It was recorded in
Hendersonville, Tennessee.
I knew that. I'm telling you, I heard this recording and I was like, this was recorded in Nashville.
Yeah.
It just sounds so Nashville.
It's a White House, actually.
Yeah, it's White House. Shore Drive and White House.
And you're going to do the players, obviously, because I bet it's, yeah, okay, cool. It's been such a long. It sounds so much like Nashville, though. Like, it's way too tight for L.A. or New York. I'm not talking about moving in, and I don't want to change your life. But there's a warm wind blowing the stars around, and I'd really love to see. Tonight.
Come on. That's Really Love to See You Tonight by England Dan and John.
I just
want to
take a nap
Ford
and y'all just put
Coley.
A blanket on me and tell me it's all going to be okay.
You can only nap for 2 minutes and 39 seconds because then it's like cut.
See ya.
That's written by Parker McGee. It is from the 1976 album Nights Are Forever. It went to number one on the Billboard Easy Listening chart, number two on the Hot 100. You want to guess what kept it from the number one spot?
Man. What year? 76?
1976. Yeah. Wildly different song.
Born to Run.
Was it number one? It was Play That Funky Music.
Oh, Wild Cherry?
Wild Cherry action kept it from number one. It went to number five in Canada, number one on the Canadian AC charts, number 26 in the UK, and it is number 320 on the Billboard All-Time 600. Between number 321, Roll With It by Steve Winwood, and number 319, I'm sorry, I need a minute. I Knew I Loved You by Savage Garden.
Rob is anti-Savage Garden. He can't. I Knew I Loved You Before I Met You. You
know
that song?
Wow.
How is that song on the all-time 600 greatest Billboard song?
It does not belong.
Gag. It was the number 21 song for 1976. I'll give you the top five for 1976. They're pretty solid. Number five is Play That Funky Music. Number four is Oh What a Night, December 1963. Which I was thinking, okay, that song came out in 1976, singing about 13 years prior is all. Late December back in 63.
Yeah.
So that's like if you put out a song in 2023 about 2010.
What a Lady, What a Night.
That was What a Night.
Yeah.
It feels like it was forever ago and always has because that song is older than us. But like, you know, it just has always felt like that was such a bygone era that they're singing about. Uh-huh. But they're like, dude, remember 2010?
Yeah, exactly.
That was wild. Okay. Number three for 1976 was Disco Lady by Johnny Taylor. I do not know this song at all. Number two is Don't Go Breaking My Heart, Elton John and Kiki D. And number one, our boy Paul McCartney and Wings with Silly Love Songs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That to me, when you say that song, I go, well, yeah, of course, but doesn't scream Song of the Year.
Yeah.
You know, but hey, this guy McCartney does what he wants to.
Yeah.
Okay. A few listening notes on this song before we dig into some stuff. I feel like the opening piano kind of betrays the rest of the song.
Wow.
Like, that's fair. Not in a bad way. It just does. It gives you no indication of where the song is headed. It screams ballad, maybe even halftime. You know, it doesn't, you're not going to be like,
yeah.
You know, you're kind of grooving by the end of this thing. And the opening piano is just so, it's a little bit generic. And it doesn't really give away where
feels
the song
like it's
is
going to be Hello by Lionel Richie or, yeah, it's something, or Barry Manilow,
something really
Mandy.
Heartfelt, which I guess it is, but like, you know.
But not up tempo, not get to the tempo that it gets to and have a little pep.
But something that it accomplishes is that first chorus really comes in like a rush, you know, because the production to that point is like halftime and soft. And then these little percussion hits come in and like just sweep you away and you're done for. It also does a thing at the end of the chorus that I love where it lands on such a soft chord. It lands on a 4/5 instead of like a 1 or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The melody lands on the 1. Really love to see you tonight.
Right.
But your bass is on the 5 and then you're going, you know what I mean? It's like a soft 4/5. And so it's the same kind of thing that happens in a different place. What am I trying to say? In a different place, scale degree wise, than what happens at the end of the chorus of Fire and Rain by James Taylor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? So that ends on like a 1/9 chord, you know, like a beat, almost like a flat 7/1 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it has that same kind of soft landing. I know that was a really roundabout way to say that. Sorry.
I like that you had like a mild coma. Your eyes rolled back and you fell asleep for like half a second.
My brain had to reset. And then I think my other couple of listening things are... Sorry.
All right,
I got it. I have to get this, though. Like, I have to be able to articulate this.
Good.
Or I'm a fraud.
We were rooting for you. We were like, come on.
Cheering me on. You got this, man.
You got this.
It's like when somebody takes a nasty hit on the football field.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, you just want to see him move a little.
Just get up. Just show me. Yeah. On the cart as they leave.
That's it. Okay. The purest substances in the world are flawless, precious metals. The Love of a Child and the toms on this song.
That's good. That's great.
They're so pure. They sound sampled. Like if this was on a Charlie Puth record, you would go, well, obviously those toms are resampled, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I wrote, hold on. Could this snare be deader? It is like, is it a pillow or is it a snare?
Yes. Let's just listen to the drums on here. But listen, the toms in particular just slay me.
Stay at home and watch TV. You see, it really doesn't matter much to me.
They sound.
And then, and I don't want to change your life.
Yeah.
There's a warm wind blowing the storm.
It's just so. The everything about those drum fills say like 80s TV show. Action TV show.
Yes.
It's Magnum PI coming out of you almost.
A-team.
Like, yeah, A-team. Yes, exactly.
So then they took 12 years of John Ford Coley's mustache trimming and put it in the snare. And it's just like, he's like, I just kept him in the snare.
Y'all put him in the snare.
Put him in the snare.
Man.
Good. Just keep him there. That
I've been saving him for.
Oh, yeah.
We've been saving him for. Oh, gosh. Okay, I got to do one thing because if I don't, I'm afraid Dave is going to do it, and I don't want you to do it.
Okay.
I want to do it.
Okay, you do it.
I'm calling this The Great Lyric Redemption. You did an episode of Dave's Five Hot Takes, episode 15 of season one, I believe, in which you talked about this song and how you looked up the lyrics and realized that what you thought was the lyric is not the lyric.
Right.
Right? Okay. So the lyric would be on the chorus, I'm not talking about moving in, I don't want to change your life. There's a warm wind blowing, and you thought it was blowing the stars around, right? And then the lyrics said, no, it's the stars are out, okay? And I could never make that jive with what my ears were telling
right.
me. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just, in my soul, I don't believe that, okay? So I started to dig, because I'm like, I really want this not to be true. John Ford Coley has a live version, and so I'll play you a little bit of that.
I need to be vindicated.
And then you'll see. I have several steps to this process of redemption, okay? Okay, so.
Can we turn up the piano just a little bit? Oh.
We'll get there in a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Not don't want to change your life. But listen to the way he says this.
There's a warm wind blowing, the stars around your turn.
Stars around.
Like it's around.
There's that's no way that's out. Right? I mean, there's no way.
Are out.
It's got too much. You wouldn't say the word out like that. Okay. So that's making me think, okay, maybe, right? So then I go and find the Hal Leonard sheet music. Okay.
Oh, there we go.
The Hal Leonard sheet music says around.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm like, for me, now I realize you looked it up on either Spotify or something. Apple Music sure. or something, right? Which normally, I mean, we've had trust issues there before, but like I can just never fully trust those lyrics
right.
as the gospel.
Right, right, right.
So I'm like, the only way to surely know, the Hal Leonard thing feels solid enough that I'm like, okay, this is at least on equal footing with
right,
know,
right, 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 right.
But I found, finally, it took me forever, but I found a lyric booklet, okay, for the song, and I circled it, and it is definitively from the lyric sheet, there's a warm wind blowing the stars around.
Yeah!
There we go!
Yeah! The great Yeehaw. Lyric redemption.
That's awesome.
I needed that. Song.
Good job.
It makes me so happy to be able to give you that gift.
So can I talk about that?
Yes.
Please.
Okay, so I talk about this in Five Hot Takes. Like, I think this is, God, this is a hot one. This is in probably my top 20 lyrics of all time. And I think this song to me, one of the reasons that I love it so much and I was so glad y'all want to do it, is because I think the sentiment of this song is so well executed.
Okay.
Like you really hear the writer that like, this isn't a commitment thing. It's a nostalgic thing, first of all, because he bumps into the girl,
yeah.
which I love. This can get really cheesy, and I think country beats this trope to death, but that he starts in the middle of a conversation with the first verse.
Okay.
You know, it's been a while.
You hear him, he's on the phone. Yeah. You hear him on the phone, right?
I see him seeing somebody, but okay. that's just my narrative.
Okay, because in my head, he's on the phone.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, it's been a while.
Yeah, yeah.
She says something. Not much. How about you? On the phone.
Yeah.
The one side. But
it's just so cool that you only, I would hope that was the first time it's ever been done, because I feel like in country, you sort of, you know, you get a lot of that, like, I bumped into my girl at the bar the other night. You know, all of a sudden that turned into Cats in the Cradle. maybe that's like a subliminal thing that's happening in my brain. But I love that it picks up in the middle. So you already kind of feel the sentiment of like, oh, this is somebody who misses somebody.
Yeah.
And then there's a nostalgia piece because he's like, hey, let's get back together. And, you know, it's been a while. Uh-huh. But like, I talk about this on Five Hot Takes, so I don't need to beat death here. But I think the reason I love that idea is you do that thing that's like my favorite thing in songwriting, where you go really specific. So I'm not talking about moving in. I don't want to change your mind. He's talking to the girl. And then there's this 30,000-foot view immediately from a 10-foot view, which is like, or gosh, 2 foot if she's there again, they're talking, where it's like all of a sudden you go from micro to macro, which is like, but there's a warm wind blowing the stars around. And you're like, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. But I think there's some, it just kind of pulls you, it kind of whiplashes you around a little bit. So it's like, it doesn't feel quite as specific. It feels big. And all of a sudden, you're going from like, oh, there's two people talking, like, I don't know how that night feels. And I know what that night looks like.
Yeah.
And I'm outside all of a sudden.
Yep.
And that makes it more romantic and nostalgic. Because what if they're bumping out into each other, like at somebody's fire in a backyard? It just feels like so like.
You can make your own scene.
You can make your own scene.
That's good.
And it pulls it, that's a better way to say it, JP. It pulls it out of like, oh, this is robotic, two people talking, to like, there's a warm wind blowing the stars. It just feels so magical.
Yeah. Yes. It's like
in the middle of a conversation. It like goes from, hey, I'm not saying this, but don't you feel the magic of tonight?
Yeah.
And I just really, and I think too, one of my favorite phrases in songwriting is actually that phrase. Like, and I'd really like to see you tonight, because it's not, it's this weird inference of a lot of things. It's like, I don't know why, I just do, but I want to see you. I don't want to just talk. It's like these two sentences that to me are this 1-2 punch of just, you're done after that. Yeah. Like, it just to me communicates so many things that I feel. Like, it resonates A440 through my frame.
You know what I mean? My favorite word in the whole thing is see. He's like, I just want to see you
tonight.
He's like, I don't want to hook up. I don't want to make out. I want to hold hands. I just want to see you.
Let's just get together.
It's so casual and yet so full of possibility.
That's it. You just said it. You both have enunciated that so well. Possibility to me is why this song is so endearing, because it's not saying it's going to work. It's not a love song.
Right.
It's not a love song.
Yeah.
It's a potential love song.
So
it's the possibility of it is what's so charming and engaging. And I think they nail, and I think to some degree, and this gets really singer-songwriter, but like, I think the thing that is cool about the piano intro and the changes is that's kind of what the lyric is doing. It's like going from a conversation of like potential change night. Now we're going from a conversation to how the night feel, and you're feeling it in the music. All of a sudden you're off to the races. Like, yeah. I'm not talking about moving in, which is aggressive.
Right.
And I'm not trying to change your mind. That's pretty aggressive, even though he's not doing it. Two, don't you feel the magic in the air? And it's warm and the stars are out. And it just, the whole production and the way they do it, even at an osmotic level, you feel that.
Yeah.
You feel change. You're like, oh, just all these things are shifting, and I don't know. You know, and it's like that guy's heart would be as the singer. It's like, God, I didn't know I'd see you here, and now I just want to see you. Let's go talk, or where are you? Like, I'll drive over there. You know what I mean?
There's this great Delamitri song called Mother Nature's Writing, and it's basically like, you know, the sky is creating this moment for you.
Yeah.
If you're willing to make the ask.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like it's that moment when you realize mid conversation, oh, there are forces at work here that are bigger than both of us.
That's it.
There's an opportunity here
Just that last thing, just that one line does such a good job, because it's a warm wind.
Yeah.
Which the alliteration is so beautiful. Sure. But like, warm wind, so it's summer.
It's pleasant. Yeah.
Summer nights are very different than winter nights.
Absolutely.
There are more possibility because you stay outside longer because it's not cold. A warm wind, so that's beautiful. Blowing, which is great because it's wind. Yeah. The stars around is just like, that's like two.
It's
that's
so breezy. Blowing the stars around.
But it's
around.
Like, it's just such a poetic, beautiful line.
Absolutely.
And I remember, and I talked about this 5-Odd Takes, but I mean, you know, I'd heard that song because I've been a human, you know, like a million times. But I remember it came on whenever that was years ago, and I like, stop me in my tracks. So I was like, what a phenomenal line.
Yeah.
It just says a million things in one little, you know, there's whatever 10 words it has.
Yes.
So,
okay. I got in doing some research, trying to redeem that lyric, right?
Yeah,
trying to pull
that
back in. I got into a thread of like misheard lyrics that are better than the original, man, right?
The conclusion
that you kind of came to was, when you thought that lyric was not what you thought it was, you're like, I like what I thought it was better. What I thought it was is kind of empirically a better line.
Right.
And so I was looking for some more examples of that. And I know there are some that like, I know, but I couldn't pull up a few specific examples. Maybe you guys will think of some as we go, but, so I found just a few on the internet that people are like, this is wrong, but it's better than what is real.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is a whole like psychological thing that we can get into. But like, how many relationships are built on that, right? But anyway, okay.
Been there, done that.
So Chandelier by Sia. The lyric is, the lyric they thought it was, feel my teeth as they bite. Feel my teeth as they bite. But it's really feel my tears as they dry, which is fine. But feel my teeth as they bite is kind
of
a cool,
yeah, that's potent.
You know, kind of a
thing.
Yeah. How about a little ELO? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So Don't Bring Me Down, right? ELO. Everybody knows the song. Did you know? Okay, here's the story.
Ooh.
It's Don't Bring Me Down. You know what the word is?
Oh.
Hush. Hush.
I looked this up.
It's Groose. G-R-O-O-S-E, which is a nonsense word.
Okay.
It was not supposed to be anything. It was just supposed to be Groose. And it said we had a German engineer who thought it was this German word, Groose, which means greetings. He said, I left it in and I didn't think anything more of it. But then when we went on tour and everyone was singing Bruce, so I joined in and sang Bruce, and I've sung it ever since. And so now he sings it as Bruce. So, but it was supposed to be Bruce, just to fill a hole in the song. He said it's easier to join in than explain that it's not Bruce. It's actually G-R-O-O-S-S.
So do people sing Bruce at shows?
Yeah, people sing Bruce.
I love that so much.
And so they're like, who's Bruce? It doesn't matter. Whatever.
You don't like it more than nobody cares. Like, we just want to sing Bruce.
Yeah. Bruce. Okay. All right. Great. And then one that we talked about last season, Norah Jones, Don't Know Why. There's a line that says, but I'll be... the line is Bag of Bones.
Yeah, and I thought what we were talking about, Vagabond. I thought it was Vagabond.
We both thought it was, Vagabond.
And I have a lot of those.
That kind of makes more sense. I mean, Bag of Bones is, it makes sense, but like Vagabond driving down this road alone is the next line. So that kind of makes, makes sense. And then a couple of good new misheard lyrics that I hadn't heard before. These are just flat. This is, I'm not going to tell you. Okay, this is Katy Perry. And this is Unconditionally by Katy Perry. But the misheard part of it is on the hook. Multiple people have heard this as Uncle Deshaun Ali. Okay, like my Uncle Deshaun Ali. Listen to it in that context.
Oh my gosh.
Uncle Deshaun Ali. Okay. And then how about this is One of Those Crazy Girls by Paramore. It says, Hayley Williams says the phrase, the key that I copied in One of Those Crazy Girls in such a weird way that I used to think she was casting a spell called the key that I copied to open his door. let me play this for you.
The key that I copied. Say it with me three times slow.
Listen, JP and I both came up in the Pentecostal church, so like we've heard some of this stuff.
Oh my Dakita Dakapid.
If you don't answer, I'll just use Dakita Dakapid.
That'll get me in. My door opening spell.
Yeah. And then there's Rihanna, a great misheard lyric. The misheard lyric is I won't chew the steak.
I want you to stay.
She's always been a vegetarian. Everybody knows that.
So defiant. I want you to steak. And then the last one I've got for us is Daft Punk. This is We Rob a Mexican.
Mexican. Oh. Mexican. Wait, that is what it's saying.
We rob a Mexican. There we go.
That's exactly what that sounds like.
It truly is. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's meet the band.
Let's meet the guys that played on this.
Hey, let's meet the band. Let's all meet the band.
Hey! All right, guys, we're going to meet the crew. Let's meet the band. We'll start with Dan Seals, younger brother of Jim Seals from Seals and Croft.
Yeah,
Summer Breeze guy. Went on to record 16 country albums, all kinds of charting singles, Everything That Glittered Isn't Gold, Bop, One Friend. I don't like any of his country. He's so much better with John Ford Coley. Or JC, and aren't we all better with JC?
Let me add one thing to that about that. It's not just that he dropped a bunch of great singles, right? Listen to this. Dan Seals, first, he became Dan Seals after the group disbanded. He was England Dan because his okay, sorry.
I'm going to talk about his name.
Okay, great.
I got it.
Okay, good.
Dude, I got
it. But when he went into country music, he charted 16 consecutive top 10 singles between 1983 and 1990, including 8 straight number ones.
Yeah, it's nuts. Play anything by him, just so you can hear what his country stuff sounds like, because I'm going to tell you who he reminds me of.
Okay.
So I don't care. Any song, Everything That Glitters Isn't Gold, I guess, or Bop, I don't care.
Bop. Let's do Bop. Why
any
not?
Of them.
Y'all know these songs?
No.
I know a couple of them, because this was my era of country music. My parents were listening to this. Yeah, I want to bop with you, baby. You know that? Socks, baby.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay.
So, who he reminds me of, y'all remember Mel McDaniels? You remember Baby's Got Her Blue Jeans On?
Yeah.
Every song he sings to me sounds like Baby's Got Her Blue Jeans On. Wow. That's all I hear on that song.
That's great.
He was called England Dan because, as a kid, he was fixed on the Beatles, and so he faked a British accent for a time. Yeah, and so they called him England Dan.
Started calling him England Dan.
He started the Southwest FOB band in high school with John Ford Coley. More on that below. I'll get there. He died in 2009 of cancer, had a stem cell transplant, but it didn't work, died at age 61. Okay, there's Dan Seals. John Ford Coley grew up playing in church and singing hymns, classical piano at the age of 16, born in Dallas, Texas. If you look up pictures of him now on the regular, he's seen wearing Dallas Cowboys hats, like he's Dallas. My favorite story about him is in 1997, somebody got arrested for impersonating him. Is this a smart play? I'm going to tell you what. Impersonating John Ford Coley. I mean, he's not huge.
Yeah.
And he kind of looks normal.
Yeah.
So pretty easy to pull off, right? Here's the story. He was at a karaoke bar, and folks are like, man, you really sound that. You nailed that impersonation. You know, I kind of did. And so he started playing shows around as John Ford Coley. And some radio station was like, that's not him. Like, I know John Ford Coley, and you're not him. So he contacted John Ford Coley. John Ford Coley, you know, whatever. So he only faced a year in jail and $1,000 fine. That's kind of worth the gamble, right?
Oh, my God.
That's my take.
Right. If you could just.
I mean, if somebody says, JP, you're going to get caught, you're going to spend a year in jail.
Maximum.
Maximum.
Not even mandatory.
And pay $1,000.
Yeah.
You want to roll the dice? I'm going, heck yeah, I'm Macaulay Culkin. So let's do this thing.
Oh,
I'm freaking doing tours around.
So I was going to say, you got to pick a target who is like mid-level
enough that you might be able to get
away with it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you got to find your person.
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
So is he was not the singer? Are they both?
They both sing. They both sing. Okay, okay. So, and he still carries on singing their stuff because Dan has passed. So yeah, they both sing.
That's wild.
I love that story. On drums, Larry London. His real name is Ralph Gallant. Yep, not sure how he got to Larry London, but stuff.
That's Larry London.
It is. Exactly.
I love that England Dan's drummer was Larry London.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you guys are going to love this. So, stuff with everyone: Al Green, Vince Gill, Johnny Cash, Crystal Gayle, Amy Grant, Ronnie Millsaps, Reba, Olivia Newton-John, Tanya Tucker, Neil Young, Tanya Tucker, if you're from here.
That's right.
So, that's a legend for you right there. All you drummers in the room, Dave and Rob. No, Larry London.
Larry London.
Keys player you talked about. Cannot wait to talk about him because he is Shane Keister, who we talked about with Wayne Kirkpatrick.
Oh, yeah.
Legend.
Shane Keister.
Won Dove Awards Best Instrumental Album of the Year, The Players.
Yes.
He's the keyboard player on that.
That's
Rob gave me that project. It's
him, I know that.
Chris Rodriguez, Tommy Sims, Dan Huff, all kinds of my folks. Yeah. He's the keys player on that.
Did you say all kinds of mofos?
No, I said all kinds of folks.
I was really excited about that.
Yeah. Went to Marshall. He played keys on Amy Grant, Myles Lefevre. He plays keys on the Dave Loggins Apprentice album, which, in a musical workshop has my favorite Dave Loggins song, Please Come to Boston. Love that song. That song just makes me happy. Yeah. So there you go. On bass, Joe Osborne. Acoustic guitar on Ventura Highway by America.
Oh, dang.
Okay.
Played acoustic guitar on the Forgiven album for Don Francisco and played acoustic guitar on a song you may have heard called California Dreamin' Mamas and the Papas.
Wow.
Also plays guitar on Bridge Over Troubled Waters with Simon and Garfunkel.
What?
He's the other guitar player.
Holy cow.
And he played bass on this.
Jeez,
Joe Osborne.
How about a flex there?
Where has this guy been all my life? How am I just now discovering this guy? So how's that for a band? And yes, it was recorded here in Middle Tennessee, right around the corner from where I live. So amazing.
I meant to ask you, okay, so England Dan.
England Dan is Dan Seals.
And then John Ford
Coley.
Did he go on to do solo stuff?
No. He does the England Dan and John Ford Coley stuff now by himself.
Oh, okay.
He did some, but nothing that charted like Dan Seals.
Like Dan. Right. Dan went on to have like a big career.
And I'm not to knock you. I know John's going to listen to this and say, you know, thanks for the mustache joke. But like, he does stuff. It's good. It's what it is.
Yeah.
But nothing hits that you would know like this.
And he moved into some production work. He did a little with Eddie Money and Tom Wirth.
Yeah. Southwest FOB band, originally called These Few, was Dan and John's high school band.
Okay.
And here's the people that were in that band.
Okay.
You got Dan, England Dan, nickname. You got John Ford Coley, which I'll get to in just a second. You got Larry Ovid Stevens and Michael Doc Woodbright.
Okay.
So they all have nicknames.
Yeah.
Everybody. I'm like, well, John Ford Coley doesn't. And I'm like, why not? Ford's a freaking, that's a neat middle name.
Yeah.
But I was wrong when I looked at, I'm like, he doesn't need a nickname, but he kind of did because he was born John Edwards.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure why. Do you know why he legally changed his name to John Ford Coley? I don't know that.
Okay. So, well, here's what I know about his name. It was John Edward, and I don't know if it's pronounced Coley or Colley, but it's spelled differently than it is on the stuff. So
on
it was C-O-L-L-E-Y.
Double L. Okay.
So whether or not it was pronounced Coley or Colley, he changed it so that he changed it to C-O-L-E-Y to avoid misspelling and mispronunciation.
Okay.
I know that much.
Okay. So, yeah, everybody in that group had a nickname.
Had a pseudonym.
Had a pseudonym. England Dan, John Ford Coley, Larry Ovid Stevens, horrible, Michael Doc Woodbright. But that band, Southwest FOB Band, did you see who they opened for in the 60s?
No.
Three Dog Night and Led Zeppelin.
What?
As high school students.
Wow.
That band opened for those guys as high school students.
That's so dope.
Man. And then the writer, Jerry Parker McGee, guy was living in a bus behind the recording studio in Mississippi. He had nothing, and there he met Kyle Lenning, who's the producer. They went on to produce tons of big artists, George Jones, every Randy Travis album.
Yeah.
But The Nights Are Forever Without You, he wrote that and Nights Are Forever. So the two biggest John Ford Coley hits, he wrote. This guy wrote, and he lives in Tennessee. We're going to call him afterwards. We're just going to call him up. Say, well,
you know, Jason Lenning
is a
producer and string arranger. He did a Thad Cockrell's To Be Loved album.
Okay, yeah, I know you.
That's his son.
Oh, wow.
Well, there you go.
I think his son, maybe his uncle, but he's, yeah.
In the family.
His son,
that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Dynamite drop in there.
The Lennings are a talented group.
So that's the band. That's good fantastic. Crew. That was fun. I enjoyed that band.
Yeah, it's a good band.
One more note. So you mentioned that Dan Seals is the brother of Jim Seals of Seals and Crofts. Dan and Jim toured around some as Seals and Seals.
Yep.
Which honestly would be a super dope concert to see. You've got, right? I mean,
because he could do England Dan stuff.
Was it at SeaWorld? Because they could have had Seals
with Seals and have Seal open for them.
Oh my gosh.
The Seals tour.
The aquatic tour.
That's awesome. That's I want to hear England Dan
sing
Kiss from a Rose.
Did you hear that?
Clubbing.
Oh my gosh. They never went clubbing.
That's
Give it up.
Well,
all right.
That's good.
Wait, so with Seals and Croft, Summer Breeze, We'll Never Go That Way Again. Mm-hmm. What are the other big ones?
Those, I don't go super deep on
them. Well, I don't know that they had like a, that Summer fun. Breeze is all
I
you need to have.
That
that's like the greatest song of all
see.
Time.
Let's see what the essentials are for them.
We Will Never Go That Way Again. Is that what it's called? We Will Never Go This
You're
Way
the
Again.
Love. We May Never Pass This Way
we
Again.
We May Never Pass This Way Again. Everybody, please go listen to that song right now.
Yeah.
It is such a good song.
King of Nothing, I'll Play for You, Get Closer, Hummingbird.
Oh, Hummingbird.
Diamond Girl, You're the
Love. Oh, Diamond Girl. Diamond Girl. You know that song?
I don't know if I do.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you know that song.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, yes. It's,
yeah.
Yes. And now I'm hearing the harmonies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the verse does that. Does that thing.
Yes. So, yeah, they had more hits than I realized.
Those bands, man. I feel like that was just so many. Like
so
random.
Many songs.
There were. It was just like so many bands.
These bands
like,
making
oh, yeah,
these
those
songs.
Guys. Seals, Seals, and Seals.
With Seal.
Seals,
Seals, and Seals featuring Seal.
Yeah, that's it.
Dude, that's it. That's it.
That's great. All right. I got a little more just on the album, Nights Are Forever. It was, like you said, it was recorded. So it was recorded at a studio called Studio by the Pond in Hendersonville/White House, Tennessee. Lee Hazen owned the studio, which ran out of his basement the whole time. They produced a bunch of Dr. Hook stuff out of there and some other stuff.
I was playing Dr. Hook today, and Rob's like, "Do you play that because of the studio?" I was like, "No, I just really like this song."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Dude, that was recorded right over there."
Yeah, they did. I think Johnny Cash did an album there, which makes sense.
He's
him being from
say,
Hendersonville, you know, stuff like that. And so it ran from the mid-70s until he had to shut it down, I think in the late 80s, but I'm not 100%. But he had to shut it down because, get this, a neighbor complained that the studio was causing him to get bad TV reception.
Oh.
And so he was like, that's bull crap. Like, it's not true, but they still, he had
early
80s.
Anyway.
He's
like, I can't watch my Dallas. And then exactly. John Ford Culley comes over. And he's like, I am Dallas.
What you know about Dallas?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's right.
What you know about Dallas?
Ding. Yeah. So, and then they also had another top 10 hit on the same album with Nights of Forever Without You. And this was their fourth album. I just love the idea that you would be able to do 4 or 5 albums
and before, not have anything. Yeah.
And then break out. That it's never, you know, never happening now. You don't get that kind of time anymore. You're supposed to be your first album. You're supposed to be more than fully formed. You're supposed perfected, you know.
I like Love is the Answer from their Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Jive album. That's their another hit that was pretty good, but that obviously came later.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's almost all I've got. So unless you have a Stump the Genius.
I got a Stump the Genius. Dave, do you have anything before we stump it? Okay,
no,
let's do
I'm
it.
Ready to stump.
We let's don't even need to listen this time. Stump we can just talk. Oh, wow. Okay. We can just talk.
Okay.
We're going to play Stump the Genius.
All right.
Stump the Genius. Stump the Genius. Stump the Genius. It's time to stump the genius.
Jump up and take your part. I take your part. All right. So this song came out in May of 76.
My bell is
so
ready.
We're going to do true or false facts about 1976.
Okay.
Neither of y'all were born.
True or false. All right.
So here we go. True or false. Hugo the Hippo was the first animated film by 20th Century Fox was released in theaters. Is that 76?
You have a good feeling?
True. Dang.
Okay, all right.
Ring it. Apple Company, formed by Steve Jobs.
In 76?
Too early.
That's what I think too. False.
It's true.
Oh.
Really?
It is. 76. NBA and ABA agree on a merger. Dr. J... Red, white, and blue basketball.
That feels right to me. Is that true?
That's true.
Yes.
Good job. Family Feud debuts on ABC.
That would be the Richard Dawson era.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yeah.
That's right. True. Yeah. Ring. I was going to make a joke and say false. It was on CBS because I said ABC. But oh. So you're killing it. Caitlin, then Bruce Jenner wins the decathlon.
76? It feels right to me, but I don't know.
Do it.
Yeah.
Those are all true. Everything's true. Okay, wow, those were all true. bonus ones.
Do it.
Because these are going to be false.
Okay.
Just kidding. Maybe they are. Sony Walkman invented.
That's no. Too early, right? Too early. Say too early.
79.
79? The Walkman?
79, the Walkman.
Wow.
The Who performs the halftime show?
I don't think that, no.
It would make sense then.
Yeah, but, it
but it's
later,
not. They didn't
right?
do it till 2010.
Okay, that's what
oh
I thought.
Oh, my gosh.
That feels like after the whole, well, that's when the Super Bowl started going real safe.
Until, yeah.
After the Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake thing, they started just doing like legacy rock
Slipple
acts.
Gate.
Yeah. And I don't even think, I don't even, what'd you say? I missed it?
Slipplegate.
Slipplegate. I love that. I was playing a halftime show at a youth lock-in. And like, so our band's playing and they got it on the screens behind. And I'm doing, I don't know. Play it that. I'm trying to think what song I was
Please tell
doing.
Me what song you
I don't
play.
Remember what song
just
I was
guess.
Playing, but I'm playing. Everybody's like, oh my goodness. Like, you could just see the crowd action. I'm like,
oh, during
the. So they turn the volume down and they're just showing it, you know. So we're basically playing while Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson are on, which, is,
getting busy on
which
stage.
Is weird in and of itself. And I'm doing worship music or some Christian covers. And the crowd
I have
just like.
I know what cover. Please
I don't know.
Your brain.
I know we did a Keith Great song that night.
Yeah,
I know
I'll
we did
that.
Oh Lord,
please
You're Beautiful,
was,
but I don't think it was
please
that.
Please tell me it was the Open the Eyes of My Heart.
Oh, no. It was. I don't know. Let the River Flow or something like that. But we're playing and everybody's reaction goes and I'm like, it's just a D chord, but let's keep going.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what's going on. And then afterwards I was like, that was happening right behind us.
Oh my gosh. We have to find the single perfect Christian music
song.
Line for you to have sung
right
at that
over.
Moment.
Right
like,
okay, that's good. Yeah.
Jeez.
Show me your glory.
No, Dave. No, Dave. No.
No, that's good. I can't tell. That's good.
Okay. That's good. All right.
Do you have anything else, Dave?
No, that's great. That's great. That's
okay.
Great.
I think I'm tapped on info.
That's
and maybe that's maybe we should leave.
That's a good one to end
we
on.
Talked. Yeah. Okay. All right. That. Okay. Let's make sure. Let's see. Dave.
Yes.
What do you have coming up? If you have something that you can reveal yet, or do we need to wait?
Think just shows. Out playing some shows.
There
yeah.
we go.
Out
go
playing some
him.
Shows.
Lady A and doing things and having fun.
All right. Everybody, make sure you're keeping up with Dave in all possible venues. Go to your favorite podcast subscription app. Subscribe to Dave's Five Hot Takes. Subscribe to Dadville. And I'm expecting you to go ahead and just have a third show by now.
I know. At what point is it just like... They just keep reproducing
just
and I can't help
it. Sit in front of a microphone
it.
All day and people bring you like those packs of military food and you just like.
Yeah. This Jabba the Hutt me.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And everybody go to DaveBarnes.com. Get yourself a vinyl. Buy some merch. Go see a show. Buy some, you know, put Dave's kids through school, y'all.
Please, Dave, please.
And yeah, I think that's it. Thanks, we don't have anything we need
thanks
to
again.
Like.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave, from bottom of our hearts,
yes.
Sincerely, thank you. It's such
season
a joy
11
to have
with us
time.
Here, guys. Thank y'all for hanging out with us. We're trucking right along.
Come on.
Coming up on 11. Episode 250 as we release this one.
So, yeah, getting close.
We're moving along.
Booyah. All right. We'll be back again next week with another great song. Until then, I'm Rob.
I'm JP.
Go listen to some music.